across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. We've done new callers, some great new calls. Everybody that called in as a new caller, please... please call in again.
I think Donald might call in again.
I want Donald to call in. Everyone else, call in again. But for the last hour of my last Friday, for the foreseeables, we're going to take calls straight to air. How does it work? Numbers flash up on my screen. I don't know who's coming. There is a 7-second delay. Don't swear. Don't be libelous. Otherwise, we dump it. You can phone in and say absolutely anything you want. And it works like this. I just go simply, line one, you're on the wireless.
Am I?
Yes!
Already?
Yes, you are! You made it, my friend.
Well, how are you? You all right?
I'm all right, baby. What you got for us? Who are you and what have you got for us?
Well, my name's Alec. I've been listening to you for about 6 months and... every time you say new caller, I keep thinking, oh, I'll do it, and then I bottle out.
You're saying you're a first-time caller?
First-time caller.
Oh, hang on, that's a rubbish bit. Hang on. There you go. You get the ding of the... did you say Alec or Alex? Alec.
Alec. Alec, like Guinness.
Alec. Hey, listen, man, nice to call you. So what's encouraged you to call in tonight, then, just for the sheer hell of it?
Well, do you know, I thought I would. Yes. And something I need to get off my chest, Ian.
Go on.
I need to get off my chest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall. I tweeted you yesterday. I said I'll talk about Chris Packham.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I like Chris Packham.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But I've got beef with him.
Oh, no, you can't know.
I've got beef.
Don't have beef with Chris Packham. I like Chris Packham as well. But you've got beef. Beefy Packham.
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Do you recall?
Mm-hmm.
2016, February, March. He did a show with fellow Rise alumni Liz Bonin.
Yeah.
Called Cats vs. Dogs, which is the best.
Okay. Whoa. Hang on. Please. He came down on the side of cats, obviously, right?
Well, that's the thing, you see.
Yeah.
Cats are great, but you know if you even ask cats, they'd say the two to be dogs, right? So,
seriously?
I know you've got cats. I know you love them to bits. I know you've got cats, I know you love them, and they are.
I don't want to have to cut you off and ban you from ever calling in, but what is this absolute nonsensical propaganda you're spouting?
Oh, but you see, he annoyed me. I spent 2 hours watching him, and this programme, they did tests, so they said, oh, is a cat better than a dog? Is it this? Is a cat better than a dog, or whatever?
Yes.
And everything that makes a pet a pet, like... yes. Affection and training and the like.
Well, dogs are slaves. Basically, they're not pets. They're slaves. Cats are pets, right? Dogs are slaves. I'm anti-slavery.
Cats are owners, though, aren't they? They own you. They're not your pet. You're their pet.
No, we choose to live with each other. I've got four cats. Cat's got a cat. What is this trying to infiltrate with your dog nonsense? I will not stand for it, Alec.
Dogs are lush. Oh, does a cat come up and give you a waggy tail and lick your face? And oh,
dog,
brilliant.
Well, does your dog bite your nipple or sniff your eye? Because one of my cats does.
Then you're a lucky boy.
Thank you very much indeed. And I think that was an admission from Alec there that cats are indeed significantly better than dogs.
I can't believe they did a whole programme about that.
It's obvious. Are cats better than dogs? Yes.
Yes.
Thanks.
Next.
Good night. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Is that me?
That's you, yeah.
Hi. First-time caller, listening for 10 months.
Switch your radio off in the background, because it will get a bit confusing otherwise.
It's Alexa, just a minute. Alexa, stop.
Alexa, shut up.
Actually, her manner with Alexa is quite nice.
What's your name, young lady?
Sonia.
Sonia, I like the name Sonia. It's a powerful name. What can we do for you, Sonia?
I just want to say... that I think I knew you would win. I knew you'd win the award, and congratulations to all of you.
Thank you.
And I used to watch television. I'm widowed many years.
Yeah.
Late in the night, so I'm very, like you, very anxious.
Yeah.
Get depressed, and I worry. So I listen to it, and the time goes by so quickly, because listening, you're enjoying yourself, then it goes quicker. But I was going to say, do you and Kath, can I just ask, do you sit opposite each other?
Right, so let me describe it. So we're in quite a big, slightly blue studio, and I've got a big desk in front of me.
It's sort of shaped like a half moon.
And I have my laptop in front of me, which is where I play all the music, and I've got four faders to my right. Two are for the phones, one is for my computer, one is for nothing. I've got the phone calls on the right, I've got another screen on my left that I don't use, and Kath, if I'm looking ahead and that's 12 o'clock, Kath is about 11 o'clock. So she's just to the left on the other side of the table. And directly in front of me is Amy, and right now at 1 o'clock is Dylan.
Right, Dylan's very, very good at what he's doing.
He's all right, isn't he?
Each day.
I'm dead proud of him, and I know that his mum's really proud of him as well. So,
It's your sister, isn't it?
It's my sister, yeah. I remember him being born. I remember the first nappy I ever changed. Here we go, Dylan. First nappy I ever changed was Dylan's nappy, and he was of an age. I'd never done it before. We were out at like some woods or something, and I said to my sister, I'll change it, I'll have a go. And we went to like a sort of nappy changing area, and Dylan was telling me how to do it. He was telling me how to change the nappy.
It was about 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
So, there's, you know, it's I've seen it all, baby boy. But I'm very proud of him. Can I ask how long ago you lost your husband? Or is that impersonal with me?
No. It's nearly 19 years. I met him at a youth club in those days.
Go on.
You don't, 82 Christmas.
No, I was going to say 62. I really was. You met him at a youth club. So when would that have been? What year was that?
1957. He'd just come out of National Service.
Yeah.
He was 21, I was 17. And he was my first boyfriend.
Oh, Sonia.
And he was the most wonderful man. Everybody says he wasn't a big man, he's slight.
Yeah.
But they said that he was big and, you know, he's...
Where?
Welcome statue.
Oh, in his heart. Big in his heart. I wondered where we were going, Sonia. Yeah, what was his name?
Godfrey.
Godfrey. And what were you listening to at the youth club? It wouldn't have been Elvis then, would it? Was it like jazz or something?
It was Bill Haley.
Bill Haley. Wow.
Yeah. And Elvis. And Cliff Richards.
Oh.
I love music, all sorts of music. But I've got three children.
Yeah.
12 grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness. And one great grandson.
Three.
Three great. Flipping heck. I bet Christmas is expensive.
It is. But now they're getting older. I don't give very much on a pension. But, you know, I think it's fabulous, your show.
Thank you.
I've tried every other thing. But, you know, you're just so good at it.
Yeah, that's very kind of you.
Tell me something. Are you mentioned about a beard? Have you got a beard now?
I've got a beard now, yeah.
Give her a scratch, she can hear it.
This is my beard.
Oh, why?
Why?
you're such a good-looking man.
Oh.
I've seen you on television.
Oh, Sonia.
So on the Matthew Wright show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw you on the Jungle.
Yeah, you watched that, did you?
You had it with your gloves on, didn't you, boxing gloves? Or did the other guy have
gloves? The other guy had the boxing gloves on. I had a beard on the Jungle.
No, you didn't. Or a little one.
Yeah, a little one. A little one. Not as big now.
Yeah.
So do you stay up all night, or do you go to bed after this? Or are you going to listen to a bit of Martin Kellner?
I'm in bed now.
Yeah.
I moved from a seaside resort to Bushy Heath. You heard of it?
I know Bushy Heath, of course I do, yeah.
Hertfordshire.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not that far. I'm sort of near Aylesbury, so I'm not that far away.
Is there any chance of getting a photo of you?
No, not at all.
Can you send it?
I don't know. I don't really have any photos. I don't really have any photos. I tell you what.
I know what we'll do.
What?
This weekend I'll bring my Polaroid. We'll take a picture and we'll send it to Sonia.
I tell you what we'll do, Sonia. Can I pass you back to Amy?
Sure.
And if you give Amy your address, because we haven't, it's not like the old days where we haven't got like any official pictures or postcards or anything.
Why not?
Because they don't do that anymore. Money, isn't it? No one wants to spend the money.
Yes, I can't use an iPhone for pictures. So
okay, hang on.
You know.
Well, what we'll do, we will take, Kath's got a Polaroid camera. So we will take a picture of both of us with that, and we'll get that sent out to you next week. How does that sound?
Very kind of you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What time do you reckon you're going to fall asleep tonight?
I take pills. I take mirtazapine for depression.
Yeah.
Quetiapine for anxiety, and Zopelin sleep. And I still stay awake.
What was your favourite song that you and Godfrey used to dance to at the youth club?
I can't remember the name of it now. Nat King Cole song.
Which one was that? I don't know that much Nat King Cole. Would it have been L-O-V-E? Unforgettable?
Unforgettable.
Oh,
and he wrote all the words down for me.
Godfrey did?
Yes.
Oh, what a player. What a player. I tell you what, Sonia.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand you back to Amy. We're going to play some adverts. And then when we come back from the adverts, why don't we play Unforgettable for you and Godfrey?
Oh, you darling.
Would that be all right?
That would be lovely.
And we can all, you can go back to the youth club, and we and all the other listeners will think about people that we love and people that we still have with us and people that maybe have passed over. And it will just be a nice 3 minutes, 11 seconds of just thinking about people that we love. How about that?
Lovely. I appreciate it very much.
You're incredible, Sonia. Thank you so
much
for calling.
You have a wonderful life.
I love you. Thank you. Stay there. Go and talk to Amy and give Amy your address. We'll play the ads, then we'll come back with a little bit of Nat King Cole, a bit of class. This is Talk Radio.
Unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
I think we've all gone a little bit, Cass. It's all gone a little bit, Cass. thank you, Sonia. That is, people often say, what's your favourite call? I've not had an answer until now. And that was my favourite call of 20 years of doing this. That call from Sonia is my favourite call. Thank you so much for phoning up and sharing that. And salute to Godfrey, wherever he may be. And thank you. I think you've touched a lot more people by phoning us up than you were perhaps expecting to. Thank you. That's why I do this job. Calls like that. You're right, Catherine.
Yeah.
Do you want a moment?
Yeah.
Let me take some calls.
Might need a couple.
We'll take calls straight to air. You don't have to be a first-time caller now. I think you can be a multi-time caller. Let's go to line two. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Good evening, good morning, good day.
Guten Tag, I recognise that voice. It's one of the most gentle souls to stride this planet. It's Rhythmic Paul.
Oh, good day.
How you doing, my friend? You're all right?
Yeah, not too bad, yeah.
Did you hear Sonia?
Congratulations on your magnificence and your awardness.
Hey, nice one, man. Thank you. So,
yeah.
Kath has posted a picture of it on her Instagram. It's in her downstairs toilet, where those things should be. They're great and they're lovely, but you can't take them too seriously, otherwise you go nuts, but they're wonderful to get, particularly when it's voted for by the public.
That's the place I do my best thinking, so.
So it's in her downstairs toilet, and it's and great, and we're going to get it sent back, and we're going to get the right name of the radio station put on there, and we're also going to get Kath's name added on there at some point as well, so all is good, all is good.
Splendid. Well, I was inspired to call with all your talk of COVID-19 because I have a little anecdote for you.
Okay, you is this because you've been travelling?
Yeah, I was in Korea 1, 2, 3 weeks ago.
I've got a joke forming.
Go on then.
How is your Korea going? It's not quite right.
No,
but
that was not ready, mate.
No, all right. But here's the thing. I'm happy to show a work in progress. Top comedians charge money for people to come and see them do works in progress. I do it for free. I do my workings out in public.
You are getting paid for this.
Yeah, but I'm not charging the... Paul, you enjoyed it. Thank you, mate. Continuez-vous, s'il vous plaît, monsieur.
Yeah, so...
I've got a better one. Paul, mate, are you all right, Paul?
Well, I think so.
I've just heard on the grapevine that your career is going south. Oh, now we're getting there! Now we're getting close to something!
I mean, it's more likely to go east.
But that's irrelevant. We are getting... I mean, actually, you're very successful, but we're getting close to a joke.
Okay.
We're that close to a joke. Paul, I will be quiet this time, and I will allow you to speak, sir. Thank you, sir. Unless I think of a better joke, in which case I will interrupt again.
So, flew out under Storm Kira, or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
42 hours plus to get from here to the door of the hotel. Ooh. Which was a nasty, nasty queuing for 4 hours, over 4 hours in, Amsterdam airport. Anyway, got there. Missed the days of rehearsal, one day of rehearsals, played the two concerts, flew back the next morning, chaos in Heathrow because of Storm Dennis and all of the departures boards not working properly, so nobody knew where they were going. But we managed to be on the last domestic flight to leave Heathrow that day.
Wow.
So we were very fortunate for that. But by then I'd already started to feel a little tickle in my throat.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, came home, got in, absolutely delighted to not have to do any more traveling. Went to sleep, woke up the next morning feeling decidedly unwell. So, I read the instructions and called the appropriate people, and then there was a flurry of activity. They said, okay, we'll get someone to call you back. So they did, and they asked me to list all of my symptoms. I explained that I'd just arrived back in the UK from South Korea, and they said, okay, you meet the criteria, so we're going to have to get somebody to call you back again. And that person wanted to know what my circumstances were, if I had a car, if I could go to the testing center. We don't have a car, I haven't had one for ages. So they said, okay, don't worry, we'll get someone to come to you. Just wait for a call and we'll get back to you. Waited 24 hours, didn't hear a thing. But at this stage, I'd already told work that I was suspected coronavirus and I was self-quarantining myself. And then after that 24-hour period, I got a call saying, we're coming, we'll be there before midday today. So I thought, great, fine. I then get a call to say, we're outside now. What we'd like you to do is to come downstairs, open the door, and go back upstairs, please.
This is so exciting.
God, it's like E.T.
Hang on, isn't this how, like, this? By the way, should we be saying this on the air? Because I suspect loads of scammers are going to be going, ah, here's a way to get people to open their front doors and walk away. Now go on, carry on.
Well, I mean, that, yeah.
No, of course we're allowed to talk. I'm joking. We are allowed to talk about this, and this is fascinating because I don't know what happens, and it's important, so go on.
So tell me, do they come in with hazmat suits and, like, tunnels, like, at the end of E.T.?
I don't know, because they asked me to go back upstairs and go back into my bedroom. So I opened the door and then went back upstairs, sat on my bed. They came in, got suited up, because I could hear, lots of sheet noises and rustling and stuff.
Oh.
And then they came to the top of the stairs and said, okay, can you please come out of your bedroom and stand on the top of the landing, please?
This is insane.
It's famous.
Yeah. So at this point, they're wearing a full mask, like, normal masks that you see people wearing. They had a kind of a head guard on top of that, and gowns and gloves. Basically, everything was covered. Absolutely 100% of themselves was covered. And they had a little hip bag. There were two of them. One came only halfway up the stairs. The other came to the top of the stairs. Did not set foot on beyond that.
No. Well, your house is a tip, please. So...
Well, exactly. couldn't navigate their way past the nonsense. Right?
Yes.
So they... then I came out and said, okay, stop there. I was then handed a bottle and asked to give them a sample of my phlegm. which I did.
Yes.
Exactly. Never been able to do that on demand very well, but yes. Anyway, I did my best, and then they put that in their little kind of hip sack, and then I got they gave me a nose swab in both of my nostrils, and then a throat swab
for 5 seconds down the back of the throat. Yeah,
something like that. Thank you. Which was quite uncomfortable for a while afterwards.
Mm.
But anyway, so that happened, and at that stage, you know, we had a little bit of a chit-chat. They were explaining what I should and shouldn't do. Results in 24 hours. I suspect it's longer by now. And at that stage, they'd already tested over 70 people in Glasgow.
Wow.
And had proven positive. And, you know, nothing in the news at all, because at that stage, there'd been no positive cases in Scotland. I think there'd been two or three now, possibly more. But, yeah, and then 24 hours later, I got a call to say, well, you'd be pleased to know that you are tested negative for the virus. And so I called up work and said, I can come in now. They said, okay, well, you've got the rest of the week off.
And that's the thing. Everyone gets coughs and colds and sniffles when you fly on a long-haul flight because of the air and all of that horrible stuff. I've never come home and not had a runny nose and a bit of a cough, you know. It's so that must have been a real... How did you feel when huge relief when they said you were fine?
Well, based on the trajectory of the illness, you know, from the time I first made contact with them, I basically, because I was self-isolating, I was taking night nurse, I was sleeping almost all the time.
Yeah.
By the time they arrived, I felt quite well.
Yeah.
Because I'd done nothing but eat, sleep, you know, do the necessary, and that was it. So I was very well rested, and well hydrated, well fed, warm and comfortable.
I think that's incredible because for some reason, a lot of this is being kept very secret. I sort of understand why they're not saying where people are. And I get that because that they don't want to cause a panic and a mass exodus. So they don't say what towns people are in. I mean, we know that unfortunately, one of the people who passed away was in Milton Keynes, but that's one of the few times I've heard a place mentioned. But I have yet to see, like, what the actual symptoms are and how the test, how the test was done, because I was listening to Radio 4. But it all seems a little mysterious, Paul. And I just think if they were a bit more transparent and spoke to us the way you just did, that a little bit of the mystery would go and we might feel a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, absolutely. But if I'm honest, there was more screening taking place in the hotel I stayed in Korea.
Of course.
Than there was at Heathrow Airport.
Of course, because...
I was astonished.
It's pretty easy to argue we have reacted in this country quite late to it, you know. Even when Italy was over 300 people with it, we did nothing, we changed nothing, you know. We'd known about the virus, when was it, December, I think, early December, it was brought up, and we've done very, very little, and I still don't really know if enough is being done. It doesn't seem to be any real leadership. Anyway, Paul, I'm glad you and yours are well and safe.
So are we.
Thank you, mate.
Congratulations again to both of you. Lots of love.
Thank you. We'll take a call straight to where? Let us go to line one. Line one, you're on the wireless. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
All right, I'm on the air now.
Yep.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Sorry, die, Tommy. Tommy, I thought you were on the docks. Over to you, Rocky. Adrian. Hey, Paulie. Actually, sorry about them impressions. Not very good, are they?
No, they were absolutely terrible.
Wow.
Let's go to line three. Three, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello,
Ian. Hello, Catherine.
Pete. Star of At What's On The Tapes. A few weeks ago, Catherine, I said to this young man, if he got over 1,000 followers on Twitter, We'd invite him onto the show as an actual proper guest to talk about his project. Peter.
Yes.
How many followers do you have?
I'm just checking because someone's just followed me. 1,010.
When do you want to come on as a guest?
I'll let you know because I'm just going into an annoying work shift pattern.
But, hang on, hang on a second.
Wow.
This guy has been given the chance to come on to a national double award-winning radio show that is co-hosted by the Strawberry Guy from I'm a Celebrity. And now he's backtracking. Now I bet he's had a better offer.
It doesn't take long for him to turn, does it?
I bet Jeremy Vine's been... we'll have that on the show. Later on, we've got a chap who's going through VHS videos.
Yeah, you'll have some trucker pulling over in tears, not being able to carry on his drive because he wants to listen to the end of your bit.
Do you remember VHS videos? Well, we've got one guy who's going through a lot of tapes. Give us a call now. So you've got the flipping egg.
I'm holding out for breakfast, to be honest. I'm holding out for breakfast, but...
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
This is the weirdest, creepiest, yet horniest song
I've
ever heard in my life.
Where there's a lot to do in the house of bamboo.
What would you do in this? Is it drinking and sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
The house with a bamboo door, bamboo roof and bamboo walls. They've even got a bamboo floor.
Fire hazard. That's what I think.
But you've got to get to know Soho Joe.
I don't want to know anything about Soho Joe. Good evening, dear listener. The late night alternative. I'm Ian Lee. You are...
Soho Joe.
You can give us a call about anything. We're on a mission tonight. But as usual, you can call us about absolutely anything. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You speak to Alex. He will take your name and number and we'll give you a call straight back. Caitlin and Jackie, stay there. We're coming to you very soon. But we're on a mission. We're hunting down Mr. Democracy Manifest. We played the clip. We'll play it again a bit later on. I don't want to kind of overwhelm you with it. But we want to find him and we want to get him on the show. Ideally by the end of the show tonight, if that's at all possible. We've got some tweets in that give me a bit of information. We have two names for him.
Well, I might have found another.
Okay, go on, Reid. You found an article, haven't you?
Yes, Sydney Morning Herald, which is
that's kosher. That's not his name.
No.
That's the newspaper.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, that's the newspaper.
And it's very difficult with this character to know what is true and what isn't, because it would seem that part of his past has been to do with deception and, you know, various kind of different identities. So there's been talk of him being a chess grandmaster. There's been talk of him being a confidence trickster. Here's what the Sydney Morning Herald has to say. Purveyors of succulent Chinese meals rejoice. For the man behind the infamous Democracy Manifest video has been found alive and well, and he's not a Hungarian chess master, but a humble painter from Queensland. In a tell-all interview with the sports betting company, this is the one we played earlier on, Jack Kay, previously known as Cecil Edwards. Did we know that name before?
The names I have are Cecil, George Edwards and Jack Kay.
All right, okay. So before he was known as Paul Charles Dozer. Anyway, so Jack Kay says the viral video captures a bungled police sting and it turns out the memorable arrest, which took place in Brisbane's Fortitude Valley around three decades ago, was covered by none other than veteran journalist Chris Reason in his first year at Channel 7. If you're thoroughly confused, says the Morning Herald, then please pretend this article never happened. But if you know your judo well... Read on. So they put a clip of the video there so people can remember what it was like. As a crowd of police bundle the man into a waiting car, he declaims in a stage voice that would put Olivier to shame, "Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest."
Why have you done him like George Galloway?
I don't know. Capitalist messages. More memorable phrases follow. "What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?"
Oh, you do it weird.
"And I'm a woman." And then most scandalously of all, "Get your hands off my penis." He says it like that, doesn't he?
He does. He does.
No wonder the clip, first uploaded on YouTube 11 years ago, went viral. The identity of the man under arrest had long been a mystery. Some declared him to be Paul Charles Dozer, a Hungarian emigre and chess player who racked up over 190 convictions for dining and dashing at restaurants across Australia. But Dozer died in 2003. And now that story can be put to bed because the real Mr. Democracy manifest has come forth. How he resurfaced is not clear. His first outing seems to be a video posted on popular Australian meme page Brown Cardigan last July. And there's a video here.
What? Hang on a minute. What is Brown Cardigan? What? Do you want to play that? Hold it up against the mic?
Yeah. Oh,
wait, let me play it. What's it? Brown Cardigan. Hang on. Brown Cardigan. This sounds a little bit dodgy bodsky. Australia.
And we don't know if it's got swears, so.
Okay. What
I can send you the link.
Oh, yeah, send me the link. That'll do it, of course.
All right, let me do that here. Democracy manifest. All right, it's on Facebook. There we go. So, yeah. You should have that.
I do not have it. This is exciting, though. Which one? Did you send it to my...
Your top secret.
My personal private email that I keep leaking on my Twitch streams.
Idiot.
Always leaking it on my Twitch streams. It's not come yet. You carry on reading and I'll let you know when it pops up.
Okay, so this is on Brown Cardigan. Clip shows an older man with a striking resemblance and an identical voice to the star of the beloved original. Then fast forward to last Friday when the same older man exploded onto the internet. Australian punk band The Chats published a promotional video for their upcoming tour featuring an older gentleman and recreating the famous arrest.
Oh.
Do you want me to send it, DM you?
Here we go. I got it.
This is the Brown Cardigan link.
Hang on a second here. Let's have a little... here we go.
You ready?
Yep.
What do you want me to say?
Democracy manifest.
Gentlemen, this is democracy manifest.
Get your hands off my penis.
And also get your hand out there. Get your hand off my penis.
So someone, that's like someone has just found him in a noisy bar.
Yeah.
And cornered him and said, can we just film you saying your greatest hits? And he does it with great pleasure.
Now, cynically, you could go, well, he's a man that looks similar and has a similar voice.
Yeah.
And... they're getting it. He's obviously familiar with the clip. And
yeah, it's him.
He looks like him, doesn't he? Definitely him. Go on. Anyway, so this Australian punk band, The Chats, published a promotional video for their upcoming tour featuring an older gentleman and
I've spoken to The Chats managers and The Chats ain't coming on the show tonight, unfortunately.
So then came a website announcing he'd returned. And I've got a link to the website.
Okay.
Jack is still with us. Jack will tell his story. His name is not Paul Charles Dozer. He was not chess grandmaster and he's most definitely still alive. These tantalising hints go no further, but the curious are invited to get in touch for a price.
Okay, go on. Good for him, by the way.
Would you like to book an interview with Mr. Democracy Manifest himself? You can contact Jack's agent with your details and offer. Succulent Chinese meals aren't cheap. I know. That's not the only attempt to monetize him. The website advertises a range of merchandise emblazoned with the famous quotes.
Now, I've seen some of these T-shirts. You've just sent me this link, and I've seen some of these T-shirts. And the one with the yellow and the red and the...
It looks like a Chinese menu.
It's a great T-shirt. It's $40, though.
Mm.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive. Because I want one of the paintings that he's doing in the interview, but they're not for sale on the website.
They're coming soon, apparently.
Okay.
One way or another, it didn't take long for him to get in front of the camera for an interview. Sitting down with Sportsbet, that's the clip we played at the beginning of the show, he confirms he's the man in the clip and recounts the day of his arrest when his tranquil lunch was rudely interrupted. There's all TV cameras, Channel 7, Channel 9, whatever he says, they've surrounded the place and come arrested me. An archival news package then plays from soon after the arrest. This is the reason, who is now a quite well-known reporter, apparently. When Cecil George Edwards was arrested in a town mall last Friday, Fortitude Valley Police thought they'd caught Queensland's most wanted, Reason reported. Instead, he was a petty criminal working under several aliases, a con man with a flair for acting. Only hours after his arrest, the Watch House granted him bail, leaving the police red-faced and empty-handed. Mr. Manifest gives a wry chuckle before explaining just why he deployed his famous bon mot. I wanted them to think I was a lunatic. So they'd send me to a lunatic asylum so I could escape from there. Anyway, I've done my time.
Okay, so we've got the website. I'm going to make a quick phone call here. Let's just see if this...
It's the way he says, hope I can get a quid out of it. Why starve?
Let's just see. Guys, I don't want that. I want to go here. Let's see.
Because the thing is, this his character, it could all be balls. Every single thing.
I'm phoning Australia. Thank you to Richard who sent me this.
Thank you for calling China Sea. We can't take your call now. Please leave your name, phone number.
This is the restaurant.
We'll get back to you as soon.
What's the dialing code for the UK?
001.
Hello, China Seas. My name is Ian Lee.
0044.
I'm calling from Talk Radio in the UK. My number for the next hour or so is 0044-344-499-1000. We would love to chat to you, as I believe that your restaurant is the famous restaurant in the Democracy Manifest video. A succulent Chinese meal! And I just wondered if you could give us any information about what happened that day all those years ago. My name is Ian Lee. And again, my phone number is 0044-344-499-1000. I may try you in an hour or so as we're on air for another hour and a half. Thank you very much. Goodbye. That's the restaurant.
Is it 11? It's about 11 o'clock there, isn't it?
No, I think it's earlier than that. I think it's 9 o'clock there.
Right.
I think it's 9 o'clock in Brisbane, so we might struggle with that. But hey, listen, I know you're not in tomorrow. I think we can do this tonight. I'll give him $100. What's Australian dollars? That's worse than pounds, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
That's like £60. I'll give him £60. Well, I want to buy one
of
his...
You want to buy one of his paintings?
I want to buy
tell
one of his paintings. That's the thing. So there's a contact form on his website. Have you filled it in?
Yes.
What offer have you made?
Not...
Okay. All right. That's good.
I said, we really love to speak to him. Do you think that might be possible? Then we've opened
conversation. Okay. Now, can you go?
Because do you know what I think it might be?
Yeah.
This is all an experiment. I think they might be about to do, I don't know, a documentary or something. And they're going to say, and look, people who didn't really know who this guy was were falling over themselves and offering all this money.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, I wanted to say thank you for keeping me company while I'm in isolation at home.
Are you in isolation because of the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Now, is this because they suspect that you might have it or to keep yourself safe?
No, it's to keep me safe because I have multiple disabilities.
Right.
And asthma. And when I got a cold a few months ago, it nearly killed me.
Now, loads of people, this hadn't occurred to me, but loads of people today said they were worried about their relatives with asthma. And of course, that would have a huge impact. And that hadn't crossed my mind at all.
Yeah, well, I've been asked by my doctor to stay indoors until further notice. So it's not just for like 2 weeks.
Oh, mate.
You've got to stay in isolation till it's over. Because
this could go on for this could go on for 3, 4, 5 months.
Yeah, and I have carers in. Luckily, I only have four of the same, so I'm at a lot lower risk.
Yeah,
than a lot of other people.
And what? So your carers come in and visit you, do they, throughout the day?
Yeah.
And are they washing their hands when they come in?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and one of the problems I'm facing, because I have carers in and medical staff, and they all have to wash their hands a lot, because of the panic buy-in, we can't get the hand washing stuff that we actually really need, because idiots are panic buying, and we can't get hold of it. So I was wondering if you could do a message on your radio show.
No one's going to listen to me.
Explain to people that they're actually putting vulnerable people in danger.
Well, you've
by
said
their
it.
Selfishness.
You've said it, and you've expressed it better than I ever could. And here's the bad news I got for you. No one's going to listen. No one's going to listen. I went to my Tesco's and there were loads of toilet rolls there. Not as many as normal. About two-thirds of the toilet roll shelves were empty. But I was surprised when I turned the aisle and there were plenty there. And I always buy a 9-pack because I live on my own, but my boys come and stay. You know, so I always buy a 9-pack. Yeah. And that's all I bought today. It would have been very easy to have picked up a couple of them or three of them. But I honestly, I don't know what the panic buying of toilet paper. I know it's slightly different from the hand sanitizer. I don't know what the toilet paper's for.
The only thing I can think of is that it's people who assume they're not going to be able to get out of the house for 2 weeks.
It's not a nuclear war.
No.
But I think I know the answer to that.
Oh, go on.
On Twitter, I don't know how true this is, notices were going up and it was probably a prank saying that toilet rolls were being recalled in Australia because the cardboard tubes are made in China.
I don't believe that for a second.
This thing went viral.
Yeah.
And everybody started panic buying toilet rolls. Yeah. They thought there was going to be a manufacturer. No.
But then that doesn't make sense if they thought there might be contaminated toilet rolls,
yeah,
does it?
Well, you don't put that up your... I don't think that... I think that's you know, it's very easy to spread lies and create panic like that. I don't think that's the thing. Well, I wish you the very best. I wish everyone the very best of luck. It's a very peculiar thing to be living through. And doesn't it bring it home... because in the movies, they find a cure, like, after, like, a week or a month. We ain't going to get a cure for it, or a treatment for it, for at least a year.
Yeah.
So, movies are bullshine, is what I have learned. Best of luck, Caitlin. Keep in touch and let us know how things go.
Well, I really hope your mum will be okay because care homes and that will probably get told the same as we've been told.
Yeah, and you go from...
You know, they've got to have a measure of exclusion.
Yeah. All it takes is one carer forgetting to wash their hands or one visitor coming in or one... All it takes is one something to slip through and then it's in. And then it's in.
That's why we hate opening the door now, even to delivery men and things.
Yeah. I had a delivery guy today, actually... And I noticed, it was the posters for the show, and I noticed that he didn't ask me to sign, he didn't ask for the signature, he just wanted my name. And I wondered if that was just an order that, I think it did require a signature, but it was DPD, and I wonder if that's DPD's thing now, is to not get people to sign, which makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Caitlin, best of luck, thank you so much. Let's go to Rebecca. Good evening, Rebecca.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath. How are you both?
Very well, Rebecca. Are you on speakerphone?
Hang on, I don't know. I'll have a look.
What?
I may have started off on speakerphone, but I'm not now.
Okay, brilliant. All right, what can we do for you, Rebecca?
Well, I've called you before. I suffer also with multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel your heart breaking about this virus. So I am concerned myself.
Yeah.
And... I just wanted to, if you could Google G95 bioscarf.
What is that? Well, I'm not going to Google. Why don't you tell me what it is?
It's a scarf that protects against coronavirus, norovirus, influenza, SARS.
What? Hang on a minute. There's a scarf that protects against coronavirus and no one's told us about it?
It went into production late last year.
With respect, it sounds insane.
It's my brother's company in San Francisco.
Why haven't the chief scientists, when they did that address with Boris Johnson a few days ago, why did they not say, by the way, there's a scarf you can get that will protect you?
No idea. I'm sorry, I just wanted to let you know there is protection out there. I didn't mean to insult or offend you.
No, you're not insulted or offended, but how does it work?
Well, from what I've read from the website and also the email I've got, it
you know, you can get the mask over your face.
Right.
Which does protect against... Obviously, a surgical mask won't protect against it, but this is a patented mask. And it's, like I said, not just against coronavirus, but also all these other terrible things that could really affect people with no immune system, such as your mother and myself. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring down the tone of the show at
all. You've not brought down the tone of the show.
Have a look. G95.
I've got it.
The thing is, we've got to be really responsible in the information we're allowing to go out.
Sorry, I understand that.
And I'm not suggesting that you're coming to us with anything but good faith, but you understand we've got to be careful.
Oh, I understand. And
it doesn't say on the homepage, I'm on the homepage, it doesn't say it protects you from coronavirus.
Right, I do apologise. I've got an email from the company, but anyway, I do apologise.
All right, Rebecca, thanks very much. Rebecca sounds like a good person, coming from a good place, but I'm going to say it, and that sounds like rubbish. Sounds like rubbish to me. It sounds like rubbish. There is no... Washing your hands is the best thing you can do. I don't know what extra wearing masks does. All I've got is the bioscarf.com website, which says it filters out an average of 99.75% of all airborne particulates. So that doesn't really mean it can help. It says, doesn't say it will, it can help protect you from pneumonia, strep, influenza, tuberculosis, pet dander, pollen, smoke, and many other airborne contaminants. It's a mask built into a scarf that you put over your face like a dandy highwayman.
Well, having a look at The Guardian, they've done COVID-19 fact checked, because there's a lot of stuff floating around at the moment.
Thank you.
And this is the claim, face masks don't work. This is what The Guardian say. Wearing a face mask is certainly not an ironclad guarantee that you won't get sick. Viruses can also transmit through the eyes, and tiny viral particles known as aerosols can penetrate masks. However, masks are effective at capturing droplets, which is a main transmission route of coronavirus. And some studies have estimated a roughly fivefold protection versus no barrier alone, although others have found lower levels of effectiveness. If you're likely to be in close contact with someone infected, a mask cuts the chance of a disease being passed on. If you're showing symptoms of coronavirus or have been diagnosed, wearing a mask can also protect others. So masks are crucial for health and social care workers looking after patients, and are also recommended for family members who need to care for someone who is ill. Ideally, both the patient and carer should have a mask. However, masks will probably make little difference if you're just walking around town or taking a bus, so there's no need to bulk buy a huge supply.
That was a very good person that was calling up there, and I appreciate that, but that isn't going to cure coronavirus. There is certainly no guarantee it is going to stop it. I don't know what to say. There ain't no magic cure. If there was something that worked, then the experts, the scientists, the chief scientific officers would come out and say, by the way, there is a scarf you can buy, 60 quid, but if you wear it all the time, it will stop you getting it. Stop you getting it. So there isn't. There's no way around this. There's no way around this. Washing your hands is the best thing that you can do, and not, you know, touching people.
Also, we have to be alive to the fact that some people are, wittingly or unwittingly, looking to make some money out of a situation that we're all worried about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, James.
Hello, greetings, salutations. I just wanted to say about the scarf. There is only one way, aside from washing your hands, which is even slightly possible to go and protect you from viruses. And that's an FFP mask, an FFP3 and FFP4 mask. However, you can't really wear them for more than like 30 minutes to 60 minutes. So unless you were to wear them 24 hours a day, which would cost you the earth because they're about 20, 30 quid each, you can't walk around with these things. You know, I've worn them in my job, and it is, yeah, it's pretty tough to wear, and it's pretty dangerous, actually.
I could wear it because I'm a tough guy. I could probably wear it I could probably sleep in it because I'm a tough guy. And we know that. But this isn't about me, James. And Catherine just raised her eyes up to the heavens as if to say, thank you, God, for bringing Ian into my life.
I mean, just the one, that'll do.
Because I'm a tough guy. People like James, who are, how do you call them, pussies, he can only wear it for half an hour or so because it's dangerous for him. Dangerous.
Yeah. I think it's really dangerous, though, because, you know, at the moment, I think there's a lot of vulnerable people out there, and there's a lot of scared people, hence why the whole toilet roll thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of people are... want to stop this, they want to stop it happening, and the reality is that we probably can't, and all we can do is the government advice, and I think, you know, I know we've all probably got issues with kind of politicians and stuff, but I think actually they have listened to the experts, and the experts say, wash your hands, and that is the only thing at the moment that we can do. And that's what we've got to do.
But don't you think that they should be following Italy now? We're like 2 weeks behind Italy, and Italy is screwed. Shouldn't they be kind of just... I'm going to say it. I think they should close schools.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, actually. I think I agree with you.
I think they should close schools. And I know it's drastic and it's big and it will cause so many problems, and I'm really lucky. It would be easier for me and my ex-wife to work around it, and not everyone would. But... I think they should close schools.
The difficulty is it's that point where the public turns when people get bored. You know, they get bored of isolating, they get bored of the situation. And then, and you know, if you do it too early, then it's a position where, well, you know what, so that I'm going to go out anyway. Yeah, you know, well, why aren't my kids at school? So I can kind of understand the holding back, but at what point you make that decision?
Now you've got you've now got Italy, where the whole country's in lockdown. It's not just a few villages and cities. The whole country's in lockdown. They've cancelled all public gatherings. So I do think it's not particularly, I do think err on the side of caution in this. I would rather the country took a hit financially than in terms of mortality and deaths.
Yeah, there's more important things than money, absolutely. You know, and you're kind of hearing that a bit today, you know, with the stock market and stuff like that. And, you know, yes, this is going to be difficult, but, you know, it's a national emergency. And I think actually people are saying about the media, and there's been lots on kind of other radio stations, there's people saying, oh, it's all hyped up and stuff. I think the media has been genuinely incredible, actually. I think they've been really responsible. I don't think they have been hyping it up. And I think they've reported what they've seen, you know, which is lots of people grabbing toilet roll. Well, they're just reporting what they've seen. That's a fact.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hiya.
How you doing?
Hiya, Ian.
You all right?
I've just rung you up. And I just wanted to discuss that with you.
My what?
Pardon?
My what?
Your blasphemy against the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, again. He's a great man. He died for us.
That's your belief, and that's great, and I would certainly never knock your belief, and I respect... Aileen?
Ian, could you just repeat...
Whoa. Aileen. Dump that. I'm going to let you back on, because I'm a great guy. But why the hell are you throwing around the N-word? You've called up to talk about Jesus. Why the hell are you throwing... You've just said the phrase, why don't you call a spade, and then you've thrown around the N-word. I cannot use language like that. You phoned up to criticize me. I was about to say, I am very respectful of your religious beliefs. I don't buy into it, but I respect your right to believe in, obviously, a Christian God for you. I respect a Muslim's right to believe in their God, all of that. But I would hope you would also respect my right to question those beliefs. I would also hope a Christian wouldn't phone up for your call. Goodbye. I'm a nice guy, so I'm going to assume you're not very well. Because to phone up and say the N-word twice whilst pretending, professing to be a Christian, you ain't no Christian, bruv. And also, you were saying that people are lesser people, are bad people. Wow. Wow. And you wonder why people mock your God. I don't. I do believe in a higher power, but not yours. Certainly respect. No, I don't respect you in any way whatsoever. You're a disgusting, horrible, racist woman. How dare you? You ain't no Christian, bruv. Floyd.
Hello.
Hello, Floyd. Can I just check? You're not going to throw the N-word around, are you?
Give me, mate. If anyone does that, I'll knock them out.
Well, okay, we'll go that far, but it's a very cool from Aileen, who's calling in again. Wow. Anyway, Floyd, what can we do for you?
I just want to ring up, because we've got a lot of stuff going on about the virus. What I'm really worried about is that I actually do a lot of work in Italy, and what I don't want people to do is punish the Italian people and punish the Italian economy by not visiting. And I know that's not in this exact circumstances. Of course, don't visit them right now. Visit. Really do think about Italy and the people there and go and visit a wonderful, wonderful country.
Yeah, it was too hot when I went last year with my boy. We went to Rome. It was too hot, but it was lovely. But I have heard stories of people. Well, I've seen tweets to this radio station being racist towards the Chinese. And it doesn't shock me, unfortunately. And I've also heard stories.
I think we need to, from the UK's point of view, we need to identify the facts that we are subtly racist. And
Whoa, hang on, Floyd, let me stop you there. We're not subtly racist. Yeah. We're overtly racist as a country. This place is terrible.
And social commentators, they would probably say that a lot of English people will be very indirect with what they say. So they'll be insulting you. They might even be racist to you, but they'll do it in such a polite way that you can't necessarily take offence by it. And that's certainly what I've noticed in certain British communities. I do see that, but I don't really want to go into that because I think it's an appalling topic. It's absolutely appalling. The fact that we're sitting here now in 2020 talking about racial abuse is disgraceful.
We had a woman phoning up pretending to be a Christian, banging the N-word around and saying that black people are evil. I mean, geez, that's, my God, what have we allowed to thrive here? Oh, my God. Well, anyway, Floyd, go on.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, but the interesting thing is, going along that lines, where the Bible's set, I mean, he's not exactly going to be Caucasian white, is he? I don't know if you've been to Israel or anywhere in the Middle East, but with the greatest respect, you're naturally not going to be Caucasian white.
Jesus, we know, is a white, is a tall, skinny white guy with long hair. We all know that. We've all seen the picture. We've all seen the photo.
Oh, no, blue eyes as well. Yeah, you've got to remember blue eyes.
He's got blue eyes, yeah. Here's the thing. I think everything's going to change for the. I don't know how long this is going to go on for. 6 months, 9 months. I don't know. But Italy's great. It's good food, nice people. When I took my boys there, they treated my boys like kings, and it was wonderful, wonderful place. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to be shut down soon in the next couple of weeks.
Well, the interesting thing is, I mean, the whole reason I'm back in the UK, same with a lot of people, is that the schools are closed right now. The schools are closed, and actually the Italian Prime Minister took the extreme precautions, and obviously you've seen that not only Milan has gone into lockdown, the whole of Italy has gone into lockdown. But the interesting thing is that Boris Johnson hasn't taken that step, and it's going to be very interesting to see if the UK's rate suddenly goes a lot higher, which, to be honest with you, it's increasing by 17%. Daily from Monday to Tuesday, you're going to have to question, was that a great decision by the Prime Minister?
It's money. If we close the schools down, everyone has to take time off work. Everyone has to take time off work, then businesses close down. Blah, 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 blah. It's money. It's all money. They're doing a balancing act between money and lives.
Well, the problem is they are doing a balance in that, but the interesting thing is with Italy is they are taking a direct economic hit, which is one of the reasons I rang up, is because the Italian government the Italian people will be taking a huge economic hit. They are not the richest country in the world anyway, and now with this an additional factor, as I said to you, I don't want the English people or anyone listening to this radio show to punish Italians, essentially an Italian business and Italian culture, because they're almost lepers. They're not at all. They're wonderful people, and they're making.
I don't think anyone's saying that they're lepers, though, are they? I mean, it's just Italy's closed. That's You can't.
Ironically, you say that, but at the same time, you said that you've had people being overtly racist to Chinese people and overtly racist to Italians because of the coronavirus. So actually, you're kind of contradicting yourself because they.
Well, no, I'm not.
People are doing that. Well, essentially, you were saying that you had people saying that the at one point in the interview, you were saying that people were being racist to Italians and to Chinese.
Yes.
And now you're saying that not to be argumentative at all, but just to say that in my opinion, that could be a risk of happening that people go, I won't.
That's literally not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, listen, I don't contradict myself. Words are my tools. I'm very careful with my words. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm literally listening. Genuinely listening. No prejudice from my point of view.
Yeah. So what I said was that there have been examples of racism towards Italian people, and you're saying we shouldn't treat Italian people like lepers, and I'm agreeing, but I'm also saying Italy's closed. So how is that a contradiction?
Because you... good point.
Yeah, because it isn't. That's why it's a good point, because it isn't.
No, it's a very good point. I think in terms of, you're saying Italy's closed, absolutely, but my sort of main quote is I don't want people to, if you're saying, it's a relevant point, agreed that Italy is closed now, but if you're saying that you are getting people being racist, being prejudicial against Italians now, my argument is if that is allowed to flourish and that continues, it's not fair on the Italian people who are making a great social sacrifice to contain this virus, which they really are.
But they don't have a choice.
Ooh, interesting. They do.
Am I arguing with a knob? No, they don't. The government are the police are out. If they get caught out, they get arrested.
Not to point to...
Am I arguing? Are you a cartoon character or so? Or are you a real physical human being?
Oh, no, Jim is sitting here now. Let me explain. In terms of do they have a choice, they have a massive choice of their actions. And let me just explain to you about this. I'm on the multitude of...
So when did you come back from Italy?
Excuse me?
When did you...
When did I come back from Italy?
Yeah.
Over 2 weeks ago.
Are you self-isolating?
I'm sitting in my car right now on my own, yeah.
That's not what that means. Tell you what, let's put the smart answers to one side and actually question. No, are you self-isolating?
Hang on a second. I promise you I'll answer your next question.
No, you'll answer that question. Are you self-isolating?
Am I self-isolating? Yeah, I'm doing multiple things, yes.
But you're in your car, so where are you going? Where are you coming from?
No, can I... No, I'm going to stop you there because...
No, you're not. It's not how it works. My show, my rules. You came over here from Italy, so you're at a risk. So I'm assuming you're self-isolating.
Initially, because your government's advice... And be very careful with this, because you're going to need to let me come back to the original answer I was going to come to, and I will answer this question, because it's very important. So, the initial advice from the UK government...
Are you self-isolating? Floyd, don't me. I do the as. It's my show. It's really... are you self-isolating?
And I will answer it.
Well, answer it then. Answer it now. Are you self-isolating?
Am I self-isolating? Let me answer...
Floyd, no. Answer the question, mate. Are you self-isolating?
I am in my car now, and I've taken advice of the UK government...
No, Floyd, please stop it. Floyd, please stop doing the clever answers, right? Are you staying in your car for 14 days?
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Suddenly this feels like a proper late night phoning show from the 90s, doesn't it? It's got that vibe now. Now we're warming up. I don't believe a word of that guy. Do not believe a word of that guy. Aileen's still calling in. You remember the Christian that said that people of colour were evil? I threw the N-word around twice? Put the phone down. go. Matt!
Wagwan.
Wagwan, Matt.
Yeah, it's getting heavy, isn't it?
It's getting kind of heavy.
It's getting kind of heavy.
Yeah.
Let's move on from that. I'm not going to talk about coronavirus because.
Well, what do you want to talk about then?
I want to ask your advice.
I'm the best person for advice.
I very nearly went to my first AA meeting.
Oh.
And bottled it. At the last minute.
Yeah.
I managed to knock the booze on the head for about 10 months last year, but I've been self-medicating with it quite heavily.
Drinking ever since, drinking the booze, knocking back the booze, knocking back the booze, baby. I can stop any time I want, baby.
Well, this is the thing, you know, because I mean, I'm not drinking tonight, and I didn't drink last night, but when I do have open a bottle of wine, I have to finish it. You know, there's no way I can leave an open bottle of wine, and sometimes I'll go and get another one.
Cheeky.
So I was going to go along tonight, but I've just got this kind of this fear that it's coming from a point of lack of education about it, a lack of knowledge. But just from hearing something a little while ago about how it's kind of all wrapped up in having to believe in God and the religious aspect to it, and that really puts me off.
Spiritual, not religious.
Is it? Okay.
Spiritual, not religious. You will see, I'm going to warn you now, you will see the word God written down. You will hear some people say the word God. My suggestion to you is ignore that for now.
Right.
Ignore it. It's not cult. It's not religious. They spell God with a capital G. Personally, I think they should spell it with a small g.
Yeah.
I have a God in my life as a direct result of the 12 steps. I choose not to call it God so often. I tend to call it my higher power. And for me, my higher power is like when I get home and I can see the moon and the stars in the sky. It's like my cat sitting on me. It's my boys laughing. It's the breeze through trees. That for me is God. That's it.
Right.
It's not some old dude with a big white beard. It's none of that. There's nothing biblical or Jesus based or Abrahamic or whatever. It's none of that. For me, it's just like stars and energy and vibrations and nature and all of that stuff.
But did you have that kind of? Did you have a kind of a? I don't know what the word is, belief or not. But was there a sense, you know, that you had before?
No.
You went through that.
I was doing everything by my will. I thought I was in control of everything, and when I thought I was in control of everything, I couldn't stop shoving cocaine up my nose. Then when I surrendered and realized when I decided to consider that there might be something a little bit bigger out there, I was able to stop drinking and taking drugs. That's it. And the advice my mate Dave gave me, who I've not seen for years, and we just got in touch with each other again last week. I said to Dave, I can't get over this God thing, man. And he said, well, I'm saying to you now, Matt, ignore it. Ignore it.
The worry I have is that, I suppose the thing that made me kind of turn around and walk away, because I was literally about, you know, I don't know, 20 yards away from the door of the place tonight, and I just thought, no, I can't do this, was, you know, I don't want to feel... I don't want to be a part of something that I can see could be good for me, but that doesn't work, or that I won't allow to work because I feel like a second class citizen.
It only works if you work it.
Yeah, but I suppose the worry I have is if I'm not one of the happy clappers, and I know that's demeaning and derogatory, and I don't mean it to be, but if
Matt, let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Carry on drinking then.
Well, that's the thing.
That's it. Carry on drinking then. Yeah. The only time we clap in a meeting is when someone goes up to get a key ring to celebrate a certain amount of clean time or sobriety.
Right.
That's it. It's the only time we clap to say, well done, 6 months. Yes, mate, get some of that. Listen, I was a hopeless drunk and a cocaine addict and an ecstasy addict. I used to take 10 ecstasy tablets a night. Imagine. A night.
I used to drink all of this stuff.
It's the only thing that stopped. I tried therapy, I tried counselling, I tried psychiatry, I tried meditation, I tried sport, I tried sex, I tried video games, I tried travel, I tried relationships, I tried food, I tried work. The only thing that stopped me was going to meetings. That's it. And you have heard me you know, talking about, you've heard me arguing with a Christian just then. I don't sound like a happy clapper.
No, God, no. You, I mean, I know you don't believe in you know, the biblical sense of things, and I guess, you know, I guess I should have used that to answer my own question before I stupidly asked it.
I am open to the possibility. This is it. I am simply open to the possibility that there is a power greater than myself in the universe. That's it. That's it. But here's the thing, and I choose to call it my higher power, but that's my choice. Here's the thing. You don't have to do that straight away. All you've got to do straight away is go in and listen. Listen for the similarities, not the differences.
Yeah.
You're there for identification.
Yeah.
Or you carry on drinking and see how that goes. How's it going so far?
I think myself.
Yeah.
Basically, but for the person I become, I mean, I'm not a violent drunk. I mean, I'm a solitary drinker. I drink at home on my own. When I open a bottle of wine, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I will drink that bottle of wine and probably get onto another one. And I know that there are people out there who, you know, who drink a lot more than that and blah blah blah, but it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't help me.
It's not the amount. It's not the amount. And maybe me saying how many pills I used to take isn't helpful because it's not the amount.
It's what it does to you,
and it's the feeling of shame and self-loathing that we get, and you don't need to live with that anymore. There is an alternative.
Okay, I seem to be braver about it. I guess I just don't want to be. I guess I you know, it's a fear of rejection. I guess, you know, kind of. Which I know probably
they can't. They won't reject you. They can't reject you.
That's not how it works, is it?
When you walk into that room, we have a saying: the most important person in each meeting is the newcomer. When you walk into that room and say to someone, oh, "This is a bit embarrassing. This is the first time I've done one of these," you are the most important person in that room because everybody, people who are clean, people who are sober for 30 years, people who are sober for 30 minutes, will all be looking to you as a reminder of how rubbish it is drinking.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You help them stay clean. You're helping me stay clean now by reminding me what it's like. So thank you.
It's not intentional, but
no, I know, and it's not, and it's this is so much of it is unintentional. It just happens. Yeah. You're helping me stay clean today. Thank you, Matt. Genuinely.
Good. I'm being helpful to someone.
Go and save your life. Go in and sit in. And see,
okay, I'll give you a go.
See what happens.
Well, thanks for that. That's helped.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
You deserve it, mate. Thank you, Matt. Let's go to Wayne. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Ian. How the devil are you?
Oh, I'm all right. It's some callers we're getting. He's right. I'm dumping that. Flipping heck, Wayne. Flipping heck. I dumped what you just said because you're phoning up to have a go at the woman that said the M word, but then you can't use that word to describe the woman who said the M word. We don't say the B word anymore. That word is gone. So please, everybody, just cool out. Just cool out.
I'm up on my hedgehog watch. And I was
Are you listening? Have you listened to anything I just said then, Wayne? You can't call someone a B1TCH.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we start again, then?
Let's start again, Wayne. Wayne's on the line. Good evening, Wayne.
Good evening, Ian, and good evening, Kathy. If you listen, I'm addicted to painkillers, yeah? So, I had to go to Adaction, and I thought, God, can I do this? Because when I walk in that room, there'll be druggies, people shooting up and all that, and I thought, no, I can't do it. Well, I did.
Well done, you.
Yes, and them people who I felt very badly of, they helped me so much. They did better for me than the therapist.
And how are you doing now?
I'm struggling. I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
I'm gone from 15 a day down to 5.
That's progress.
So,
that's progress. That's a start.
It is progress, yeah. But the point being about people get the assumption that they can say God, whatever they want, but at the end of the day, it's fear of the unknown, and mine was. And I just thought I was better than anybody else. And I'm not, because at the end of the day, I'm an addict. And we all come in different shapes and forms.
One of my closest friends in recovery... used to mug old women.
Okay.
Used to actually mug old women.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, indeed. And I said to him, he's a really good friend of mine, he saved my life. And I said to him, how do you live with that? And he said, that's the one thing I cannot, I'm trying to make amends for it, but I'm aware of what I did was so low, was so atrocious, that I can never quite get over the shame of that. Now, what I'm saying that for is, I've done things, I haven't done anything like that, but I've done worse things than him in other aspects of my life, and he's done worse things. Everybody is in those rooms. Everybody's, and you wouldn't know, he doesn't look the sort. He doesn't look the sort. He looks like a very respectable gentleman, but he's got that in his past. And that's awful that he's done that. And I'm not in any way justifying that. But he reached a rock bottom and realised that his life was not what he wanted. And he is doing everything he can to make amends for those actions. Everybody's done, the people that have done worse stuff than us and people that haven't done as worse as us. And it's all people just trying to get... it's trying to get on the right train, Wayne, and head to the train station. That's it.
Indeed. And unfortunately, I mean, if you're an addict, you will do things to get where you want to be. Yep. I mean, mine's half for the buzz and the other half is for the pain. Mm. And I have even gone to my mum's and took her painkillers. So we all do silly things.
Yep. Yeah. I nick money off my mum. I'm not, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'm ashamed to admit that. I got clean. I paid it back.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. Wait, I'm going to let you go because I'm getting a little bit itchy. We're talking it's a little bit triggering, this conversation about drugs. So we're going to move on. Last 30 minutes of the show, we're going to take calls straight to air. Sit back, relax. You don't have to answer any more phone calls, Elif. This is on me. This one's on me. We'll have a little break. You can hear from one of our colleagues. And then, is it a full moon tonight? It's got a full moon kind of vibe. It's got a full moon vibe. Let's take a couple of calls straight to air, then we'll have a break. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hiya. I did ring earlier on, but I just wanted to ring to tell...
Me? You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. That's why I'm talking to you. Right. You're talking to me.
Right. The lad who rang a couple of calls ago and he went to AA and never got in there.
Yeah.
I just want to tell him it's the best thing I've ever done. And we just have to believe that something higher than us can get us well.
Yeah, but also, I've got to say... because step two, I think. You get there, the steps are in an order for a reason. Step one is just going, yeah, I got a problem, that's it. So he'll get to that bit when he's ready. But life is so much better clean and sober, isn't it, Joanne?
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I did something very 70s on the way in. I was driving in, and as I got very close to work, there's a little kind of turn off where the road splits into two, and you go straight on, or you go left to head towards the radio station. And it's quite narrow. It's only one kind of narrow lane. And a car had broken down at the traffic lights where you would turn left. And you could kind of get around it by, instead of going left, going straight and then sort of just turning back on yourself a little bit. And so I did that and I drove and I thought, oh, I should probably go and push that car. No, I won't. That's a weird thing to do. I thought, because there's not a weird thing to do. Of course, it's the right and proper thing to do. So I parked about 50 yards up and I went back. And I'm so glad I did, because it was a woman, I would say late 50s, early 60s, in the car on her own with the hazards going. And I kind of knocked on the window and I said, do you need a push? She went, oh, that'll be great. Thank you so much. And I pushed the car. She had the handbrake on to start with. Because
classic.
I bet she's not been pushed since 1984 in a car. Well, again, the innuendo keeps growing. But I haven't pushed a car maybe in the 90s, maybe a friend's car at college or something like that. Maybe 30 years since I've pushed a car. 25, 30 years since I pushed a car. And I pushed the car and I said, there's like a bus lane just around the corner. We'll get you in there, or a little lay-by. We'll get you in there. And I pushed her. And here's the thing, dear listener. There were cars beeping us, behind us, and beeping because I was pushing her car. There were three people stood by the traffic. So right as close as you are to me, Kath,
yeah,
stood there.
At 2 metres.
And no one jumped out of their car or from that group said, yeah, I'll give you a hand, mate. Oh, do you need it? I'll give you a hand. Now, I'd forgotten, actually, that pushing cars is quite good fun because you feel really strong and it's quite easy. But a hand would have helped.
Yeah.
A hand would have really helped because it was a bit tough to get it going. People were beeping me and I pushed her into the lay-by and I said, that's all I can do. I don't know anything about cars, so I can't really help you. She went, no, you've been great, thank you. Then I got in my car, and then I thought, oh, let me just go back. And I said, are you okay? Are you phoning someone? Have you got the AA or someone you can phone, or do you need me to call someone? She went, no, I'm making a call. Thank you so much. And it just struck me, I haven't pushed a car since, I would say, 1992. And the 70s and the 80s, we were always pushing cars. Mm. We're pushing cars to get them started, if the battery had gone flat. Pushing cars to get them started if it was cold. I remember that being a thing. And also pushing, I remember so many times being with my dad while he was driving, and we'd see a car broken down. And this is when I'm like eight. So 80, 81, 82. And he'd say, he would just stop in the middle of the road. He'd say, get out, son, we'll give this car a push. And we'd get out and we'd push someone to the side of the road. He'd have a little look at their car because he could do stuff like that. And then we go, that was happening all the time when I was growing up. I can't remember the last time I've seen someone pushing a car.
Now people just sit behind them beeping.
Beeping. And if I was in a car, if I was in traffic and I see someone pushing a car in front of me, I'd think, it's going to be quicker if I get out and give them a push as well. Do you need a hand? And if they say no,
fine. See, your reaction isn't, come on, beep,
yeah, get out of the way.
Lean on the car as hard as you're leaning on your horn.
You can make this happen faster.
Idiots.
And it's a nice thing to do. And it was, you know, maybe this is, you know, the patriarchy. It was a woman on her own. Maybe
you didn't know that when you got out of the car.
I didn't know that, you know. And it was an older person. And I don't want to sound, you know, patronising or anything. I mean, I don't know anything about cars. She could have been a fully trained. Her gears had gone, basically. Gears were knackered. But I really enjoyed it. It made me feel powerful.
I saw her. She was still there as I drove.
Was she?
Yeah.
I was
very tempted to get out and push her back into the road.
That was about 25 minutes later, wasn't
it? Sitting there with the hazards on. Little silver thing.
Little silver thing, yeah.
I talked about the car, not her.
Okay, right. But I just, it's this thing. And I did drive past. My initial thought was, should I go and push her? No, that's weird. No, that's weird. That's where my head is at the moment. No, that's weird. That's where I think a lot of... Well, the fact that someone was beeping me. The fact that three people were stood 5 foot away, if that, while I was doing it. And not one said to the other, hey, take my bag, I'll give him a push. No one does that.
Because sometimes it takes one person to intervene and then everyone else kind of snaps out of
the
trance.
Be kinder. I'm really, really trying with this. I did a thing yesterday on Twitter. People say virtue signalling, but those people are tossers. And I nicked it from someone. I nicked it from a comedian. A comedian we tried to get on the show and couldn't get on in the end. Where he does this thing. He'll say, I'm at an airport. I've got a flight in 15 minutes. Does anyone need a pep talk? And I keep seeing him do that. I thought, oh, that's good. He set a time limit. And he's like, so I did it yesterday. I said, I've got 10 minutes before I go to work. Does anyone want to chat? Out in the open, no DMs. And if anyone just needs to chat, I've got 10 minutes. And I think people thought I was joking. And a few people got in touch and, you know, we had a little chat on Twitter in public. And then I gave the number of the Samaritans. I'm going to do it again because it's a load of people. People said, thanks. That's it. Thanks for listening. That's all I needed. And that's it. I'm not saying this to blow my own trumpet. I'm saying this to say we can all do this. Keep it out in public. Keep it out of the DMs. Someone said, why are you not going into the DMs? Well, I don't have a great history on Twitter. Also, you would imagine it might be someone vulnerable. You don't want to cause any problems. Out in the open, fine. Everyone can see what's going on. There's no, you know, shenanigans or anything like that.
Also, you know, you maintain healthy boundaries.
Exactly. Works for both sides.
Exactly.
Works for both sides. Protection for both sides. But also, someone might see someone sharing something and go, oh, I hope you don't mind, but that actually happened. Very similar thing happened to me, and this is what I did with it. Be kinder. Be kinder. That's where I keep heading towards. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being a bit softer. Everyone's trying to be, you know, a tough guy and hilarious and sarcastic on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being a bit softer.
It's all right, isn't it? It's all right. Be kinder. And I'm sharing this not to blow my own trumpet. I don't have one. But to just, it's an example. It's an example of two tiny little things that took, well, 10 minutes on Twitter and 5 minutes, 15 minutes of my time.
But it helps you as well.
Felt great. Mm-hmm. Felt great.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It was buzzing. 0344-499-1000. Sonia, Caitlin, we're coming to you next. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000. If you've heard the Reply All podcast about that lost song, we got the guy who wrote the song coming on the show next week, which is very exciting. Very exciting. We've still got Pete coming on tomorrow, 10:30, to talk about his wonderful, I call it performance art. I don't know what he calls it. We'll find out. He's a listener who's who just bought like 500 VHS tapes, the kind where you tape them yourself.
Yeah, used ones.
Yeah. And he's going through them. And he's found treasure. He's found a bit of me on there. He's found a trailer for the 11 o'clock show with me. I don't remember that. And he found it. He's found some great stuff. He's found some really boring stuff. And he's found, like, a 10th generation Bluey.
10th generation?
Yeah, it's really bad quality. But there's no...
What, a pirate?
Yeah, no homemade Blueys yet. But I think it's really interesting. And he's doing it on Twitch, which is something that fascinates me. And so he's coming in tomorrow, 10:30 for half an hour. I'm going to come in the studio and going to talk about why he's doing that, what he's found, what he hopes to find. I'm really hoping he's got some Carlton ad breaks coming up. That's what I'm looking forward to the most. It's our friend Sonia. Good evening, Sonia.
Good evening, Ian.
If you have phoned us up to tell us off for not sending you that picture.
Yes.
Good. Now.
You're not going to send it?
No.
We've taken it?
No, Catherine, please. Catherine, let me deal with this. Sonia?
Yes.
Not my fault, it's Catherine's fault. It's Catherine's fault. Catherine?
No, let me quote directly from Ian Lee. On Monday night, we took it as we were leaving.
Yep.
So we went and stood in front of the Talk Radio sign. It's been taken. It was on a Polaroid.
It's actual Polaroid, yeah.
So it's in my bag. I wasn't in yesterday. I'm in today. We need to sign it and we'll get it
in
the
post.
Let me
go and get your bag. We're going to sign it now.
Yeah, there should be a shot.
Sonia, I'm going to go and get it now. We have not forgotten.
She wants to tell you something. Hurry up!
He's going to get your bag.
Yeah, he's going to go and get my bag because it's got the photo in it and we'll sign it now while
you're
talking.
Really? Yes, lovely. When the postman comes, I think, oh, this is it, but it's not.
Oh, I'm really sorry. He's a huge disappointment.
Because he wasn't in yesterday.
Yeah, I needed to look after my kids last night because my husband's away and my parents couldn't take care of them as they have been doing all week, so...
Oh, I'd have come down and look after them.
Oh, bless you. Well, you wouldn't want little in at the moment. She's in a right mood. I don't know what's the matter with her.
How old is she?
8.
Oh, lovely. And what's wrong with her?
Well, she just seems very short-tempered. I'm guessing tired. Mm. She might be sickening for something. But she's, you know, when they get a little bit... Well, she's just a firecracker and she keeps going off.
Sorry, I was late. I had to say hello to the cleaners but using the Chinese foot swipe.
Right, here we go. Let's find that picture. Here it is.
Because we don't have... It's not... Like the old days, Sonia, when radio station... Have you got a pen?
Yeah.
And radio stations have, like, pictures and things. We haven't got that. So we've taken a nice picture...
That's lovely.
...on a Polaroid. This is unique.
Uh-huh.
One of a kind. That's a black pen, mate. You can't write black on black.
On the bottom you can.
It's tiny.
Oh, come on.
Where's your silver pen?
Oh, I've got a silver pen here.
Yeah, well, let's do it in silver.
Right.
This is only the best for you,
very
Sonia.
A nuisance.
You're not a nuisance.
She's
quite.
She is a bit of a nuisance.
What?
No. I'm joking. Hey, we all loved that Nat King Cole yesterday. The other day when you called
him.
Yeah. Everyone loved it, and people on Twitter were loving it. Because I've not really listened to much Nat King Cole, but he's got a voice like chocolate, hasn't it?
My mum and dad's wedding song was "When I Fall in Love." So, Nat King Cole's always been quite special in our house.
It's lovely, yeah.
I'm signing.
Are you writing on my face?
I'm writing on my face. Now, hopefully that...
Don't write on your face. No, I want to see your lovely face.
Oh, Sonia. Sonia, you mucky pup. Now, don't smudge my...
I'm not smudging it.
You're smudging it. You're smudging it. I want the best for the best.
You need another award for last night, by the way.
this is kind of what I'm thinking. How does one get an OBE? I'm joking. It was some show last night, Sonia. There's a lot of people out there lonely and struggling.
I tried to get my son, because he's like that a bit. He said, has tried to, a while back, after the divorce, take an overdose.
Oh,
and
no.
I felt for that poor man.
Yeah, what's that? If you don't mind me asking, what's that like as a mum? Knowing that your boy is in so much pain that they do that?
Well, I've got two sons and a daughter, but this is the middle one, my blue-eyed boy, they call him.
Yeah.
He came to our door, my husband was alive then, about 25 years ago, because he's 53 now.
Yeah.
And this fella had him. He found him in the hallway of the flat where they were living. His wife was having an affair and took the children, and he said he took an overdose. It's the most horrendous, horrible thing. Mm. They're like your babies, children, you know, birth to death. And it's you know, I don't know why diazepam. I've taken more than that, and I can't even sleep.
Mm.
But that's that.
How's he doing now? Is he all right now?
No, he's in a bad way actually.
Oh.
He's sofa surfing.
Oh mate, he's having a tough time.
He's having a very very tough time. He's got with another woman, a girl rather, and she's a bunny boiler. She's possessive of him.
Mm.
Anyway, forget about that.
I have not heard the phrase bunny boiler, not to make light of what, you know, the worry you might be.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah. What was it? Indecent? No, not Indecent Proposal. It was,
I can't think.
Oh, what was
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct. That was it. I've not
That's
heard that
right.
No, not Basic Instinct. No. That's Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
What? Fatal attraction. Thank
I knew
you,
it was
Alex.
A two-worder.
Fatal attraction. Oh, it must be difficult as a parent. You want the best for your kids. You want them to be successful, to, you know, be in love, and you want so to see him struggling and mixing perhaps with people that perhaps don't have his best interests at heart.
No,
that must be tough, Sonia. That must be really tough.
It is tough, but there's people far worse off. I know that.
Yeah, there are, but I don't really like the comparison thing. Because there'll always be someone worse off, but that doesn't really matter when you're the one going through what you're going through.
Yes.
My thoughts are with him.
Can I talk to you about your four cats?
Yeah, of course you can. My favourite topic.
I had a cat called Tabitha.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a great name.
When my husband was alive, a British Blue, but she wasn't just a cat, she never grew. She was like a kitten.
Yeah.
And when she used to crawl up my legs... Each leg hurt me.
Oh.
Now, last night you said about this lady, fibromyalgia. I have that.
Oh.
And that's when I found out that I had it.
Oh, because of Tabitha. She diagnosed it.
Every step she took on my legs and sat on my lap.
Oh, no.
Hurt me.
And she wasn't doing it with claws, because my boy George will walk along your legs with his claws out. This was her just padded feet.
She did.
Oh, did she? Ooh,
and it hurt.
It does.
And also, she had a thing about hands, but only me. She bit me one night when I was asleep.
Oh, no.
And I got cat scratch fever.
No! Yes, I have. That's A, it's a song, but also it's a nasty little disease, that, isn't it?
I bled from every
Steady.
Part of me.
Okay, yes, gosh.
And
wow.
Don't forget, I was on my own.
Yeah.
And it was horrible, but I adored her. I loved her. And everyone came in and said, where's your mad cat? And I used to get so annoyed.
Mm.
That
The other thing is, talking about cars,
yeah.
My late father was a fruit, fruiterer. You heard of Spitfields Market?
Yeah, of course. Sonia, what do you think, I'm a baby or something? Of course I've heard of Spitfields.
No. Well, he had a big van, and he had us four children, and me and my older brother, all three have died now, but we used to have to get out and get a thing in the front of the engine and turn it.
Oh, a crank, a turn handle thing.
What's it called?
Is it a crank handle, isn't it?
Crank handle, yeah.
Like in the Laurel and Hardy films, that's how they'd start their cars.
He used to do that a lot with us kids as well. But something else I wanted to say to you, I've forgotten what it was. But anyway, thank you for doing that photo, which I'm waiting by the door for it.
Well, it is going to go in the post tomorrow, so hopefully Friday, Saturday it should come.
Lovely. But you know something, I must tell you, you do what I do and some of my children do. You talk very fast when you say your number.
Oh.
And I tried a half an hour on the phone, tried to put it in.
That's because we didn't want you to phone us. I'm joking. I will bear that in mind. Can I say, Sonia, after your last call, and now on Twitter, you've got so many people who are head over heels in love with you and sending you their best. You've got a lot of fans. Yeah.
I've got cataracts, and it's been broken in my eye under operation, so I can't see my iPhone at all.
Well, trust me, everyone on Twitter is sending you their best right now.
Wasn't that lovely?
Isn't it? You've got a lot of fans out there.
It's you doing it, though.
No.
You're fabulous what you do. And I hope you get a contract again.
Let's see.
And Friday's going to be horrible for me.
What? Yeah, because Kath doing the show on her own, I wouldn't want to listen to
that. No, I like Catherine, but you're not going to be there.
But here's the thing, right? And Catherine's show is going to be great.
I know,
I'm going to be hanging out with my kids on Friday night, so
lovely.
I'm winning. Everyone's
What's
winning.
Their names?
Do you know what? I will tell you one day. I never say their names on air.
All right.
Keep it private. In case there's kidnappers out there.
I know they're 8 and 10.
8 and 10, yeah. They're lovely little boys. They're my babies.
Okay.
All right, Sonia.
Some woman's going to be fine for you one day because you're a lovely man.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Caitlin.
Hello.
Hey, Caitlin, what you got for us?
Hi. What I wanted to do was explain how you and Kath had helped me.
Oh, go on then.
We've got time before the news.
Of course we've got time.
Really wanted you to know.
Yes.
The first time I ever phoned you was after the guy you had on from America, where his daughter was being exploited and abused, and he just got her back.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was someone called Angelo. I can't really remember his name.
Okay.
But he'd been on, and then I phoned you explaining what had happened to me.
Yes, I remember.
Oh,
I'm there, I gotcha.
Well, that was the first time, other than the police and the evidence, that I'd ever told anyone what had happened.
Wow. Thank you.
But it was so important that I said it because I thought it might save somebody else or give them the strength to leave.
Yeah, it is important to share these stories whenever you can.
Yeah, so but that was the first time I'd said it. And the day after I called you, my mental health worker was here.
Yeah.
And I told her what I'd done and how much it had helped, because you and Kath were so kind. You know, and you talk about your mental health all the time. You don't, like, make a secret or hide it. If you're having a bad day, you'll tell us.
Mm.
So it kind of feels a bit like a family, and I just wanted to say that you and Kath have really, really helped me, and you probably never even realised
it. Can I ask you a question, Caitlin?
Yeah, sure.
Who is the best out of me and Kath?
Oh, come on, that's a bit unfair.
Who is the best?
I would never put you in that position, Caitlin, but...
Yes, but you're nice in different ways, because I heard this show that Catherine did on her own on a Friday, and she did brilliant.
Yeah.
But, Caitlin, if we were to stand either side of the street and call you...
Oh, come on.
She's just as bad as me, Caitlin. She's just as bad as me.
I'd go forwards or backwards wherever my cat
was.
There you go. Caitlin, listen, thank you so much. That's very kind of you to share that. And you're right. I think it's important that we talk about this stuff. We talk about the fun stuff. We talk about the lousy stuff. And people will identify with it, and it might just help. Caitlin, thank you. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Oh, Sarah. Oh, no, 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 no. Milk is... No, no, no. Made my other half a cuppa today and noticed the date on the milk was the 1st of March. It didn't curdle, but I didn't put it in mine once I noticed. No, milk is something you've got to be very, very precise with.
One of the signs I knew my mum's eyesight was going, which made me a cup of tea.
Oh,
just
God.
Thinking about it.
Go on.
And as I finished it, something hit my lips. And it was like this iceberg of, like, cheese that had been in the bottom of the... Oh, my God. She poured in loads of off milk, and it was all in there. It was all floating around at the bottom, and I drunk the whole thing, and then there it was.
Your mum disgusts me.
Makes me gip just thinking about it.
Gip. Gip. 0344 499 1000. What you got, Boyly? Apart from vomit.
Izzy says she's got strong bread flour dated 2015. Found on Monday.
Okay.
That's the thing about flour. You go through a phase of baking certain things and you stop doing it and then you've got loads in the...
Yeah. Well, 2010 is balsamic vinegar from 2010 is the record so far. Can we beat that, please? 0344 499 1000. And Sarah, I'm actually going to have to report you to Twitter because that thing about that milk is disgusting. That is horrible.
A bizarre 6 foot tall creature described as a human deer is roaming Grimsby.
Oh, I've heard about this.
According to people who claim they've witnessed it.
Is this the thing where it runs across the road and you can see its elbows? Seen this?
I don't think I've got a picture.
I saw a picture of like this. It was supposed to be a deer running across the road, but it had elbows.
Oh my God!
And it was running, obviously running. It was obviously a human running on its arms.
Lee Solways, host of the Realm of the Supernatural podcast, told the Daily Star Online there have been 5 or 6 sightings of the creature in the Lincolnshire region over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Every witness describes it the same way. They claim...
After how many years?
40 years.
I don't believe it then.
Well, they might be reproducing.
No. What is it? Well, I don't...
Half man, half deer.
Half man, half deer. A Mia? Or a Dan? Dan. Dan. Dan?
A Mambi.
It's like some of the people tweeting in tonight.
Every witness describes it the same way. They claim it is half man, half deer, with antlers... Mostly walking on 2 legs. Sounds like the Green Man.
Has there ever been a fashion? We've had hats. We've had the shark's fin. We've had some crazy haircuts. Has there ever been a fashion for strapping antlers to your head?
Yeah. Little girls do it all the time. Well, kitty ears, antlers.
Grown-ups. Like wooden ones. Deer. So you get them off a deer. Real wooden antlers.
Tricky to drive, isn't it? Tricky to drive when you're wearing those. Or go in through any doors. You know this is a tall man. Imagine you wearing a pair of those.
I would look great with some proper real wooden antlers on. From the saw. I'm not... Please don't go off and saw off a deer's...
We need to take this to the dragons.
Yeah. I'd be up for that. Or tusks coming out of my arse.
Oh, my God. I've seen tails. I've seen people wearing tails.
Oh, yeah, but that goes up the...
No. Not that kind. The fox, like on a belt.
Who was that German woman that ran like a horse? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Google. I'm not.
That's incredible, wasn't it?
German woman running like a horse.
She can go quite fast and do jumps.
It was remarkable. She would just gallop along the street.
It's not right, though, is it? It's against nature.
It was very, very weird. German woman running along like a horse. Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, God. Cara, are you... first message saying I can't get you through on the phone. It's saying it's busy. Are you dialing the right number? Let me just dial... Oh, God.
Anyway.
No, hang on. No, we've got to test the phones now. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I just want the show to work. I'm sorry, Catherine. Katharina Boyle. Why am I... I'm blocking my number. I don't need to. 0344 499 1000. Here we go.
Radio calls
are charged at your provider's national rate.
If this goes through, Cara, you're in huge trouble.
Thank you for holding.
Cara, you're in trouble.
Full of it.
Absolutely full of it. You're dialing the wrong number. Thank you.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hi, Ian and Kat, says Sophie. I used to go out with someone in the 80s and his family were very bohemian swingers. And his mum would cook really bad vegan food for me. I was given tinned marrow fat peas that were radioactive lime green and the expiry date was June 1974.
Oh, my God.
And it was 1990. Put me on the bog for 3 days.
Flipping it.
She didn't like you.
Flipping it, man.
That's terrible. Anyway, they claim it's half man, half deer.
Okay.
With antlers.
A Mambi, I would call this. I would call this Mambi. Like Man Bambi. Mambi. There we go. Cara's got two! She was dialing the wrong number! You absolute melt.
It reportedly...
Mambi. Tell us the Mambi story.
I already said that. It reports...
Do you remember the song? Frankie.
Yep.
I would
Sister
sing.
Sledge.
I bought that and I was too embarrassed to tell my family I bought it.
Oh, I had that. I had the tape.
I would now sing it as Mambi.
Why?
Because that's what people do, isn't it?
That's what people.
Please tell this story.
It reportedly has brown fur, a mane, is the same height as a tall human man, and most disturbingly of all, has glowing red eyes. Solway says it sounds like a pooka. A feature, a figure in Celtic folklore that can change its shape. Well, everything could sound like one of them then if it's a shape changer. Welsh mythology features a similar creature called a pooka. And in Cornish mythology, it's called the booka. The pook are said to be fairies living near ancient stones in the Channel Islands. Solway says the creature was once sighted by a schoolboy bunking off for the day.
Oh, right, yeah.
He saw a creature step out of the cornfield, looked to him and then bolted, bounding like a kangaroo.
So it was a kangaroo.
Despite being a native Grimbarian, Solway hasn't spotted the pooka himself, but believes there's definitely something going on in the area. A keen Bigfoot experience, his first experience with the paranormal came as a child when he encountered what he believes was a fairy posing as a little boy in the cupboard under the stairs of his family home.
Just going to say, I think we've got a new leader. It's S.C. Kelfie. It's a tin of... Prince's stewed steak with gravy. Now, here's the thing. You say your dad left it to you in 1999. The best before end, it looks old, but the best before end date is December 2001. So I can only put that down as 2001. I can only put that down as 2000. It's almost 2002. So December 2001 is the best so far, and it's Prince's stewed steak with gravy. Back to the Mambi.
He's also seen a shadow man when he was babysitting, which he says tried to push his friend down the stairs. The end.
Okay. Let's go to... Thank you for that. It filled some time.
Whatever.
Let's go to Cara.
Whoops. I'm so sorry.
Would you like to apologise to me, please?
Yes, I would. To you and Catherine.
Here's what got me blocked by Piers Morgan is when I replied to him, an apology usually has the word sorry in it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm very sorry. I am very sorry.
Would you like to apologise to the listeners?
I just did. I'm sorry.
And to Alex.
Sorry, Alex.
What were you doing? Were you dialing the wrong number?
0844.
Oh, you're like... Remember Cleo? Cleo kept starting all these false alarms and proper investigations.
Oh, no.
He was dialing the old number.
Well, because it comes up Talk Radio as well, I didn't even realise until you said it on air.
So I'm prune cut. Anyway, I'm so glad that you're here now, because this is going to be gold.
I'm sorry, darling. Yeah, I hope you can hear me okay, because I've had to come up to my car.
Pardon?
Oh, don't. It's freezing out here as well. But I didn't want my youngest daughter to be earwigging.
Go on, what's happening?
It was just about the lovely Sonia's... all I can hear is my own voice. By the way, it's horrible.
Hang on, if I put my headphones on, does that make it any better?
Hello? No.
Okay.
That's fine, don't worry. No, don't, because I'm a bit, like, all over the place. Yeah, the lovely Sonia,
her call was... Well, basically, I'm just going to come out with it. My daughter has tried to kill herself just before Christmas.
Yeah.
The older daughter. The younger one obviously knows about it, but I didn't want to talk about it when she can hear me. She's 15. The oldest is 19.
Yeah.
She started self-harming when she started junior school, so like 11, 12. And I didn't pick up on it, which I'll never forgive myself for, because I got the lies, I fell in a bush, I picked up a cat and it scratched me. And I was like, silly girl, you know, put some germaline on. It took me months to realise what was going on. She's now 19 and it's just got worse and worse. And she's covered in head to toe in scars. And it's worse now because she's moved out. And I got a call about October, November time. She'd taken a massive overdose. But the thing is, because she's an adult, they won't tell me anything.
No.
It was her boyfriend that called. So I went rushing up to the hospital. Wasn't even allowed to see her in. Yeah. Because she's an adult and she didn't want her mum in there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with her now. She won't talk to me.
Why won't she talk to you? Is there some beef? No.
We are so close, and I think it's because she just doesn't want to upset me.
Yeah, I get that.
If I see her arm, she'll quickly like pull her sleeves down, and I try so. Like, she came over last night, and she gave me a hug, and I saw her arms, and it's so hard, Ian, not to just say, "Oh, darling," they're awful, and I feel a bit lost, and I kind of wanted to ask Catherine, I hope this doesn't offend you, Ian.
Of course it doesn't offend me.
How did Catherine go about, like, the impact, everything that went on with yourself? How did she deal with that? You know, did she have people around her to talk to?
Not many, but I had one person who gave me some guidance about protecting myself.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, if you go under... all is lost.
Exactly.
But also, it's about recognising the fact that you are not causing what's happening. You can't control it. And you can't live your life, you know, the trouble I have is, the balancing act is being concerned, but not being so concerned that you're living in a state of panic, because that's no good for you, right? And you can't sustain that. That's no good. But this advice I was given, which I've said to you before, you don't mind me saying this,
no,
do you?
No, 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 no.
Thanks, Ian.
Was do everything you can.
This is for those who don't know, this is when I relapsed on hard drugs and Kath's my best mate and was trying to help me. This is what we are referring to.
Yeah, sorry, Ian.
That's right, no, go on.
And do everything you can so that you will know you've done all you can if you survive that person.
Yeah.
Which is a really horrible thing to hear, but makes sense because, you know, you've got another daughter, you've got life, and also I understand a little bit of what you're going through in that you spend, from the moment you wake up, maybe you get 2 minutes when you're not worried, but from the moment you wake up to the moment when you go to bed, you're worried.
It's that sick feeling in your stomach. You know, I mean, all I can think of, Catherine, is that, you know, when they're little and they get a little scrape on their knee and you're like, oh, you know, let's put some cream on it, cuddle, kiss. You know, and you can't...
You want to fix it.
You can't fix it. And it did take me a long time to stop blaming myself. You know, is it something I did? I bought them both up on my own. Is it something I didn't do, something I did do? But then I accepted that, I'm a bloody good mother. Yeah. I've tried so hard despite all my own struggles.
And it sounds like you're doing the right thing in that you want her to know that you're there and you're waiting for her to come back. But you can't force her.
No.
And
but it's just so hard because she shuts me out. And you'd never know. I mean, I'm sort of one of these people, I get through with humour.
Yeah.
And everyone's always, oh, you're so happy. How are you so bubbly with everything going? I'm not.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling, and I just don't know who to turn to. The mental health team are like, well, we can't talk to you about anything to do with your daughter.
Hmm.
I completely understand that.
But how can I help when I don't know what's going on?
I think the first thing you need to do is make sure that you're shored up, that you are getting... You've got someone to talk to.
I don't. Is it?
Let me think. What can I suggest? Hmm. There must be...
Sorry, I know this is a bit crappy and a bit...
No, it's not at all, because it's...
Like, when Sonia mentioned it, bless her heart, and Ian said, how does that feel as a mother?
Yeah.
And I thought, it's literally the worst feeling in the world. It's helplessness. You can't do anything.
I get it. What about... So, she's not a... She's a, not a child, is she, but...
She's 19.
She's
my baby cat.
I'm wondering if it's maybe... There's a number here for the Young Minds Parents Helpline.
Right.
Because it's more for the, you know... there's helplines there for people who are going through it directly, yeah. But, you know, you want to know how you can support her, but also not, you know, not go under yourself.
Yeah, see, I can't crumble. I could never cry. I mean, even when she took the overdose, I couldn't... What can I do? I can't cry. I can't get upset because then she'd feel guilty.
Here's something. National Self-Harm Network. Online support forum.
I did do a course, Kath. I think it was Flash. I did a 6-week course. That's when she was still living at home.
Right.
And it was on a Saturday. And all I could think is she's at home on her own.
Yeah.
And it was... I mean, I know now she's... She's got a very supportive partner and he really looks out for her.
Yeah.
But the only contact I have with her really is just checking her status on Facebook, and they're awful. I've had to unfollow my own daughter because I can't
read his writing. It's too upsetting.
Mm.
Have a look at... have you got a pen?
I haven't, because I'm sitting in the car.
All right. Well, if you Google... there's this thing called the National Self-Harm Network, and there is an online forum, and it's not just for people who are doing it, it's for families as well.
Oh, really?
That's, you know, if you can talk to someone who gets it,
that
might be helpful.
Thank you.
Maybe someone's listening who knows better than we do on this one, because...
I'm sure there's so many people going through it, but it's so hard to talk, because it's not about me. And I feel guilty saying, look, can someone help me?
But it is allowed to be a bit about you, because you need support as well.
And for my other child, she's 15, you know, nearly 16, and it's so hard. I don't get it, Mum. Nor do I, darling.
Well, hold on to this thing that you didn't cause it.
No.
You can't cure it, and you can't control it. All you can do is, you know, be there and let her know that you're ready, and that you're ready to hear her out.
They're so amazing, Cass. They're so beautiful. Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Don't ever apologise.
So
do you know what? I'm really honoured that you felt able to trust us with this.
I don't talk to anyone. This is the first time, like, since I say, like, since she was 11. I've never spoken.
I can be a bit like that. I'm usually the fixer.
Yeah.
I'm usually the fixer. And it wasn't until...
You just laugh through life.
Yeah, and then it's not until someone asks how you are that you go, I don't think I'm right.
Luckily, no one does.
No, they don't, do they? Because they always think you're managing.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can call us whenever you want. You know that, don't you?
Thank you. And I'm so proud of you and Ian. And Ian, you're just doing so well. You are amazing.
Thank you, mate. Talk to your 15-year-old as well.
Yeah, I try. I try and protect her from it. She's doing a mock exam, And
she'll know something's going on, though.
She does. She sees everything she puts on Facebook as well, and I'm like, just don't look, darling.
I would talk to her. I would suggest talking to her, because if you don't, there is a chance that at some point she might resent you.
Yeah.
Even though all you're doing is trying to protect her, she might resent you for not telling her stuff. And
fifteen is
still a baby, but they've also got their head screwed on. And I just think, obviously, you don't have to go into the full graphic detail, but if you try not to put any of your worry that you've got onto your 15-year-old, but in a matter of fact way, say, look, you've probably noticed some stuff is going on. This is what's going on, and this, you know, I would share with your 15-year-old.
Yeah, she is aware, but you know, it's something that we haven't actually had a full on. No, you're right. I think I'll let this week is exam week.
Yeah.
So we'll wait till the weekend, and I think we'll have a little girly night, me and her.
I think that would be very helpful
for both of you, but perhaps
stopping it repeating itself with her.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it?
They're so lucky to have you, Cara.
And also, just very quickly, do the two girls get on?
Yeah, God.
Well, then you never know. You never know what what conversation. If you talk, if you're talking with a, not to pass on messages, but if the 15-year-old has some awareness of it, you never know what conversation she might have with her older sister. There's going to be no immediate fix to it.
No.
But little seeds need to be planted, and at some point, hopefully, those seeds will grow.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
What were we talking about? Louie Louie? Well, we were playing different versions of Louie Louie, or have we done that already?
You started on something else. You come to a decision.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lose weight. I'm overweight. And people go, oh, Ian, you look hot. I do look hot. You're not overweight. I am overweight. And I'm wearing these trousers, and they're very tight. 34, very tight. I used to fit into a 34 so easily. And we mentioned this the other day, and I've really been thinking about it, and it's the total thing. I've been trying to lose weight for about 4 years. 3 years. 3 years. And I can't, because I quite like food, and I don't like exercise. And I've gone down from, I don't weigh myself anymore. I'm not as big as I was. When we went to New York, that was probably my biggest when we went to New York. And so I'm not as big as that. And I'm nearly 50. And unless I put in some major lifestyle changes, I'm not going to get back to what I was 5-6 years ago. So I'm going to buy bigger clothes. I'm going to buy bigger clothes. I'm going to accept the size that I am. It's not huge, right? It's not huge. But I'm going to accept the size I am, and I'm going to buy 36-inch trousers.
You don't even need to think of them as bigger clothes. Buy clothes that fit.
That's it. That's it. I'm nearly 50.
Because a tight waistband is just a continual guilt girdle, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've come to that conclusion too. I think there's something to be said for, I think working these hours is messing with our metabolism. I don't eat a great deal, but I put weight on. I can't seem to shift it.
And this is not to say I'm going to go crazy with my food. Mm-hmm. I'm going to enjoy my food, but I'm going to cut back on the Mackie D's. I did stop the lattes for a long time. I've just gone back on them in the last week. Stop the lattes, cut back on the Mackie D's. And I'm going to, once it gets a bit warmer, I'm going to walk more up Coombe Hill. It's a great place to go walking up there. So I'm gonna do that, but and if I lose a bit of weight, that's great. If I don't lose a bit of weight, I'm gonna have trousers that fit.
Yeah, and they'll look better.
And that's and I'm having a big clear out of my wardrobe because I live on my own. I've got a big wardrobe full of clothes, and I've got some other clothes in another wardrobe, and I've got a chest of drawers. So I've got a couple of suits where the trousers are never going to fit me again. So I get rid of the trousers, keep the jackets if they fit, cause they're nice jackets. Get rid of. I'm having a big clear out of clothes. I've already got one, first whip through one black bag of clothes. I want to get, if I can fill two more black bags, then I'll treat myself to some new shirts and trousers. Although I found two pairs of trousers I'd forgotten all about the other day. A brown pair of cords, mm-hmm. and just some nice brown, I believe they call them cargo pants. Do they call them cargo?
They've got loads of pockets.
No.
Right, so
pants, trousers.
Is it more of a...
It's a trouser.
Like a...
No, don't say chino.
No, they're going to say, what do they call them in America? Khakis.
Oh, no, well, this is... You know what happened to me the other day? You know when I lost the... I couldn't get into my car because I'd lost the keys?
Yes.
And do you know how I got in there? I rubbed my trousers on the lock. And it opened the car.
What?
I was wearing my khaki trousers.
Oh
yes, sir!
She didn't.
No, she did! She did! With pleasure. I'm just a joker here to make you laugh. Ignore my tears in the dark. I'm a happy man. Song and dance to make you smile. But as I walk home alone on the lonely mile, I cry, cry, cry. Please!
Please ignore my tears, my dears. My jokes are what I offer. Please don't tell anyone I know. I'm a lonely bugger. I go home. I have my beans, my toast. It keeps me warm. I sleep alone. I bathe alone. I play with my bits alone. But on the stage, I will make you laugh. I put the sadness in the dark. My misery, my loss, all those bad things I'll put to one side. I'm a puppet with strings. I entertain you.
My favourite line in that. I have my beans.
I'm going to surprise you.
Was that an original hit?
Was making that up on the spot.
I'm astonished.
On the spot.
You've got to write some of this down.
On the spot. Well, I know Luke's listening, and he's always coming up with these weird albums that no one buys.
He's not listening anymore.
No, he is. If he's got any sense.
Oh God.
If he's got any sense, he will have taped that and will be now adding strings to it.
I have my beats.
On his Moog. My son, my eldest son today. Don't cry.
I just keep thinking of your beans.
My eldest son.
Oh, that hurts.
My eldest son today said, Daddy, you're so good at making up songs. And I said, yes, I am. Except I didn't say it, I sang it like this.
Oh, no!
Okay, you're just taking the piss. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
03444991000. Danny Baker makes a really good point on Twitter. Really good point. In all other times of national crisis, wars, depression, slumps, pestilence, light entertainment has been essential. Not as a distraction, but because it helps. Today we're in the grip of a grim media rolling news junkies who see no worth in it. It has been expunged. He's absolutely right. Can we have a laugh for the rest of the show? I want to know ways to protect the who. That's what I want tonight. 0344 499 1000. Ways to protect the who. In about 5 minutes, we've got a bloke coming on who's bought 500 VHS tapes and is sitting going through them one by one. So the entertainment is continuing here, dear listener. The entertainment continues here. I can't seem to do anything with these calls. Could you put one on one and the other one on the other one, please? And then maybe we'll have a little reboot during the news. Thank you so much. Sharan! Sharan! Hello? Nope, too slow. Jack!
Hi, how we doing?
Very well, Jack. What you got for us?
So, CS coronavirus.
Yes. Turn your radio off, please.
What is it?
Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, I'll turn my radio off. Is that better?
Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's you've turned it down. Turn it off.
Turn it off?
Yes, like I said, turn it off.
Yeah, I've turned it off, mate.
You hadn't. You turned it down, mate.
All right. Is that all good now?
That is all good now, thank you.
All right, how we doing?
Because you've done what I asked you to do.
All right, cheers, mate. No need to get cheeky now with a Scotsman, but if you want to get cheeky, then you can come straight to Glasgow, just like we are going to sort out the coronavirus.
Oh, God.
I have a plan, a master plan,
yes,
to wipe out the coronavirus. Just send them to Glasgow, mate, and we'll offer them a square go.
Okay, just send the coronavirus. I think the coronavirus is in Glasgow. What is going on with everybody? Why is everyone being a massive bell cheese? I can cut people off, but I don't seem to be able to. Oh, yes, I can. But it's only. Yes, what do you want?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. Turn you. Turn your radio off. Oh, I mean, last show of the week for me, thank God. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, it's not on, thank you.
Thank you. Well, it was, though, when I said it.
So, it was when you said it.
It was when I said it, thank you.
Okay, so how are you?
I'm feeling full as we found a new burger place around the corner and we ate and we ate.
I ate too much. Okay, so I just want to say something to you.
I ate exactly the right amount. Hello? Hello? What? What is going on? Let me take this. What the hell is going on? Yes, Sharan.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Yeah, hi Ian, how are you?
I'm really losing the will to live.
Why is this?
Because all of the calls have been numpty, Sharan.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so what would you like to say?
Well, after hearing that, I might as well just not say what I was going to say.
Perfect idea, thank you. Flipping heck, man. Right, who's this?
Hello. This is Sam. How
no, it's not. I mean, guy, listen, if you're going to do crap phone-ins about Iron Brew and stuff, try and mix the voices up a little bit.
Don't listen to Jack. I've got the plan for coronavirus.
Oh, for God's sakes. Listen, mix the voices up a bit. This is like the 15th time you've called. We don't answer line two. Oh, God. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.